Rows of film studio buildings reflected in the shiny gold surface of a shield with the letters WB in its center. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. A sunlit, snow-topped mountain range.
Edward Perryman Cole died in May. It was a Sunday afternoon, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It's difficult to understand the sum of a person's life. Some people will tell you it's measured by the ones left behind. Some believe it can be measured in faith. Some say by love. Other folks say life has no meaning at all. Me, I believe that you measure yourself by the people who measured themselves by you. What I can tell you for sure is that by any measure, Edward Cole lived more in his last days on Earth than most people managed to wring out of a lifetime. I know that when he died, his eyes were closed and his heart was open.
A lone figure trudges across the snow. In a garage workshop, a man flicks cigarette ash into a tin.
Name the five presidents whose last names begin with the letter H.
H. Warren G. Harding, Rutherford B. Hayes, Herbert Hoover, and the two Harrisons, Benjamin and William Henry.
Ah! Thought I'd get you with the double Harrisons. You're sick, you know that?
I think that's sick. Can you name the wives?
No.
Neither can I.
Yo, Cutty, cut!
Yo!
Hey, when they leave the Camaro, man?
Yesterday.
All right, I got one for you.
All right.
Who invented the radio?
The older man thinks.
That's a hard one.
What do you know? I finally got you.
No, it's just that I don't know if you want the person they think invented the radio or the person who actually invented the radio.
Well, in here it says...
Marconi, right?
Yeah, it ain't him?
Well, he's the one they generally think invented the radio. In fact, he got a Nobel Prize for it in 1909. Truth is, a guy named Nikola Tesla patented the basic idea for the radio in 1896. Same idea Marconi used for his patent several years later. Tesla fought Marconi till the day he died in 1943. Same year the Supreme Court ruled that Marconi's patent was invalid, recognizing Tesla as the inventor of the radio. Carter.
You really are sick.
Oh, hi, Jenny. Well, good. My time. What did they say?
Carter chews his lips as he listens. He stops and looks confused.
All right, what does that mean?
Carter's face falls. He looks down at the lit cigarette between his fore and middle fingers and lets it fall to the ground. Carter puts down the phone and stares down numbly. He slowly turns his head and walks away, trance-like. He heads towards the bright, sunlit street outside. A man in his 70s pours coffee out of a flask and inhales its aroma.
Kopi Luwak, the rarest beverage in the world. Take a whiff. Go ahead.
Mr. Cole, the board is ready to hear your proposal.
Hold on just a second.
To his lawyer.
Go on.
The 30-something lawyer takes the small cup of coffee and has a sip. He nods and puts the cup down.
Well?
Really good.
Mr. Cole's incredulous.
Really good.
Mr. Cole, sir.
Do you know what a Philistine is, Jim?
Sir, it's Richard.
That's right, Phil. Give him the spiel.
Richard stands and walks over to a lectern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow supervisors. We at the Cole Group feel the decline of the Wynnewood Hospital is a direct result of significant fiscal mismanagement.
I beg your pardon?
Overhead costs are nearly double what they should be. Your lease and land costs were similarly overbid. Donations have atrophied to the point that you've fallen far behind the curve in research, pediatrics, oncology, and MRI. The Cole Group has successfully privatized 15 public hospitals in the past 7 years, each of which now provides or is being redesigned to provide the highest standard of medical care to their communities.
Despite being grossly understaffed,
the better the doctor,
What about beds? There have been rumors you increased the number of patients to the point of overpopulation.
Patient density has always been...
And your emergency rooms, I mean, they are known.
I run hospitals, not health spas. Two beds to a room, no exceptions. Look, I passed up a lunch with Michelle Pfeiffer to be here. So can we desist from all of this inane posturing? Boys and girls, you need me. I do not need you. Now, there's a sizable check in this envelope. Let me know if you decide to cash it.
Mr. Cole, are you all right?
Mr. Cole looks at the handkerchief he's been coughing into. It's stained with blood. He stares at it, blood around his mouth. A bespectacled man in his 30s walks out of a lift. He carries a vase of elegant white flowers in one hand and a large brown case in the other. The man walks past a reception desk and into a hospital room. He puts the vase down on a table and places the brown case onto a windowsill. He opens the case and takes out a contraption consisting of two canisters joined together by metal pipes. The man walks over to a bed curtain and draws it back. Carter stares back at him from the bed.
What are you doing here?
Oh, you know, fighting for my life. You?
No, I was just surprised.
Right on the whip, I got it, I don't care about insurance! Tell Dr. Shit for brains that I want to know everything about this bleomycin drip that he wants to get me on. I hear it eats your lungs, but I address Congress next month. I don't want to do it breathing through a hole in my throat.
Well, that's not exactly what happens.
Who the hell is this guy? Where's Thomas? Tom!
In plain view, sir.
Hi, Tom.
We're going to move you into the bed now, all right?
How you doing myself? I ain't dead yet.
Cole falls down between the bed and the gurney.
How about now?
Mr. Cole eyes Thomas, who helps him up.
Have I fired you lately?
Not since the Oprah incident.
That was a good one.
Yes, good stuff.
Edward Cole climbs onto the bed. His smile fades as he suddenly notices Carter in the next bed.
What the hell is that?
Who the hell are you?
He said, oh, God, what am I, in the morgue?
That was the first time I laid eyes on Edward Cole. An inauspicious beginning, to be sure.
Oh, spare me. I hate tubes. So, I'm damned if I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks laying next to this guy. Zombie boy. Looks half dead already.
You can't have your own room. It would create an enormous PR problem.
I don't give a shit about PR. I want my own room. It's my hospital, for Christ's sake. Don't tell me I can't have my own room. No offense, pal.
You have publicly defended this policy countless times. You run hospitals, not health spas. Two beds to a room, no exceptions.
Edward shakes his head.
I've never been sick before.
Okay. Dr. Eldridge will be in a minute to dot you up, okay?
Dot me up.
The nurse goes. Edward picks up a mirror and stares at his reflection.
Jeez.
His short hair has been shaved off. He leans towards Thomas.
Thomas, don't let me wake up paralyzed.
I'll do what I can.
Thomas smiles at Edward, who sits back in his chair. Carter watches him.
This really your hospital?
Yeah, pretty much.
Carter looks at his book.
Might want to do something about the pea soup.
In an operating theater...
By the morning of the surgery, the cancer had spread so far throughout Edward's body that the doctors gave him only a 5% chance to survive. But then, they didn't account for how pissed off they'd made him.
On the operating table, the unconscious Edward winces. Carter's wife, Virginia, sits at Carter's bedside. She finishes her meal.
No visitors come in to see him?
Carter looks over at Edward.
He's been sleeping a lot since they brought him back.
That's another reason I don't miss nursing.
It's always so sad seeing a patient like that all alone after that kind of surgery.
Virginia clears their plates away.
At least it's quiet.
Virginia looks troubled. Carter stares up at the television. Virginia shuffles awkwardly.
Rachel called this morning.
Really? How's she doing?
She's auditioning for first violin in next semester symphony.
That's wonderful.
Carter smiles. Virginia taps the top of a cool bag, then walks slowly back over to Carter. Children's drawings adorn the wall by his bed. She sits down on the chair beside his bed and glances around the room. She fidgets awkwardly, then looks at Carter.
Need any more books?
No, I'm fine.
Got your meds for the night?
I already took them.
How about pillows?
I'm fine, Virginia, really. Thank you.
She looks down, then stands up.
You know, I could stay a while if you want me to.
No use both of us being useless in the morning, right?
She nods.
Okay.
Virginia gently rubs Carter's elbow, then leans in and kisses him on the cheek. She removes a paper napkin that's been placed over his hospital gown and screws it into a ball as she walks away. Stony-faced, Carter watches her go. Carter reaches over to his side table.
She gone.
What?
As something of a public health expert, I believe more people die from visitors than diseases.
Day, Carter is watching Jeopardy on the TV.
It's the berries for 600.
This Swedish berry is also known as the cowberry.
What is a lingonberry?
What is a lingonberry?
Correct.
It's the berries for 800.
In a top 40 hit of 1956, this berry told Beethoven to roll over.
Who is Chuck Berry?
Again, who is Chuck Berry?
Yes.
Hey.
Around the world for 800.
Duke.
Answer.
You're right.
Oh, sorry. No. What is a Mariana Trench?
A young doctor walks in.
Good morning, Edward.
Morning.
How you feeling?
Dumb question.
How's that catheter?
Don't know how I ever did without it.
Humor is a good sign.
Kiss my ass.
As is surliness. It's one of your favorite flavors, right? Yeah. Let's see what I got here. Oh, that's good. All right, so the operation went well, okay? All the post-op brain scans are clean, so now we're gonna go after the sarcoma and the rest of your body. Now, unfortunately, your blood markers are extremely high, so I would like to begin the first round of chemo this morning.
Love the smell of chemo in the morning.
Apocalypse now, right?
Makes me feel like victory!
I'll check in with you later.
All right.
Say, Doc, Doc.
You think you could just take a look at...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm running late. Who's your doctor?
He's Dr. Gibbon.
Okay, I'll let the nurse know.
The doctor goes.
Appreciate it.
He lies back and looks over at Edward.
Bitch, ain't it?
Edward, his head swathed in bandages, looks over.
What are quarks?
How long you been here?
Oh, in and out over the past few months. Got me on experimental treatment. What is the quadratic equation?
How rough is it?
Chemo? Not too bad. If you don't mind round the clock vomiting, watching your veins turn black, and feeling like your bones are made of napalm, stay at the beach.
That's a relief.
Plus, I hear people react to it differently.
Edward looks worried.
You'll know about tonight.
Edward nods sadly.
Listen, you don't mind my asking. What is that contraption you got over there?
It's a siphon. Makes coffee.
What else does it do?
What else does it have to do?
Carter rests one arm behind his head.
Did you know that coffee was originally discovered by a shepherd in Ethiopia?
You don't say.
It's true. Seems his goats were eating berries from an unfamiliar bush. For long, they were running and jumping all over the place, just having a gay old time. So the shepherd took some of the branches to the local monastery, where the abbots decided to roast them. When the berries started to burn, the beans inside gave off such a pleasant aroma, they brewed them into a stew.
Stew, huh?
Then over the next few hundred years, spread to Arabia, Europe, even Sumatra, like that hooch you got over there.
It's called Kopi Luwak.
I know what it's called.
You do?
Edward fumbles with a cable.
Never catch me drinking that shit.
Have you ever tried it?
No. I'm more of an instant coffee man. Here. Here we are.
Carter helps him.
Thanks.
No problem.
Carter untangles the call button cable. Edward stares up at Carter.
You always had those freckles?
As far as I know.
Nice. Freckles.
Carter smiles.
Okay, we got prosciutto and melons, some burrata mozzarella, and a veal paillard. The folks at Toscana send their best.
You sure you want to eat all that?
That's the plan. What?
Thomas gestures towards Carter.
Oh. You want Thomas to make a plate? Fix a plate for,
Carter.
First name or last?
First.
Really? Interesting. So you want, might cheer you up?
Oh, thanks. I'll pass.
You sure?
Edward places some food in his mouth.
Yum, yum. Best in L.A.
Later. Edward vomits into a toilet.
Ain't the best in L.A. no more.
Edward slams the bathroom door shut. His head now unbandaged, Edward sleeps. A long, crescent-shaped scar runs along one side of Edward's head. Carter watches his neighbor, then turns away and reads a letter. Day. Edward kneels with his head over the toilet bowl. He straightens up and wipes his mouth.
Oh, man.
Edward pulls the bathroom door open. Carter is sitting up in bed, chatting with a male visitor. Edward hauls himself to his feet and stands in front of the sink. He stares at his reflection in the mirror mounted on the wall above it.
My God. Somewhere, some lucky guy's having a heart attack.
Edward takes a swig from a bottle of mouthwash. He wipes his mouth with his hand, then pushes his drip stand back into the room.
Fellas?
Mr. Cole?
Don't pay any attention to me. I'm just talking to myself.
A package.
It's from Kai.
Carter takes it.
Says he wants to be a mechanic like his granddad when he grows up.
I hope you talked him out of that.
I tried.
What have we got here?
A Shelby. 350.
A toy car on a key ring.
I always wanted one of those.
Yeah. Kai remembered.
Carter's son Roger looks awkward.
Mom seems to think you're not getting enough rest.
Mm-hmm.
Roger looks at Carter, then glances away.
She loves you, Pop.
Mm-hmm.
Carter doesn't look at his son. Roger looks down sadly.
Okay.
He stands up.
You'll, call us when you get your test results, huh?
Mm-hmm. If that day ever comes.
Okay.
Roger kisses his father on the top of his head.
Take care.
Okay.
Roger leaves. Edward waves goodbye to Roger, then looks over at Carter.
Your oldest?
Yeah.
What does he do?
Roger's a tax attorney.
Oh.
Here.
A photograph.
His brother Lee is an engineer.
Edward takes the framed photo and sits up. A pretty girl sits between Carter's two sons.
Who's the pretty little lady?
That's Rachel. Youngest of the three.
Big age difference.
Yeah, well, she was a surprise. We'd hardly gotten the boys out of the house when she came along. She's an outstanding violinist.
Edward nods.
You got kids?
Depends.
He lies back down.
Never stayed married long enough.
Oh, well.
Don't worry. I've been married long enough for the both of us. How's that going?
It's going.
That good, huh? That's why they invented light switches. Don't get me wrong, I love being married. Been there four times. Problem is, I love being single, too. Hard to do them both at the same time.
Nobody's perfect.
Only successful marriage I had was me and my work. Started making money when I was 16. That was that. Never stopped.
Yeah, but damn. I wanted to be a history professor.
Nobody's perfect.
I made it through 2 months of City College before Virginia gave me the news. And then, you know, young, black, broke, baby on the way. Take the first decent job that comes along.
Edward stares at Carter.
I always meant to go back. But 45 years goes by pretty fast.
Like smoke through a keyhole.
Night. Edward lies on his back reading a book as Carter pushes his drip stand into the bathroom. Later, Edward hurries into the bathroom, clutching the back of his pajama bottoms and dragging his drip stand with him. He hurriedly closes the door behind him. Lying on his bed, Edward looks over at Carter. Carter lies with his back to Edward, shivering and damp with sweat. Day. Carter watches Edward now shivering and sweating. To a nurse.
Don't give me the morphine while I'm sleeping. It's a waste. Maybe she's trying to kill us both. You ever think of that?
Jen.
They're playing cards.
What are you, the devil? What if I lost my mind already? Jesus, no. No, Jesus. Ever think about suicide?
Suicide? Me?
Yeah. Lord, no. Thought so. Stage one.
What?
The five stages, but...
Denial.
Okay.
Anger. Bargaining. Depression. Acceptance.
So, of course, you're not thinking of suicide. You're in stage one. Denial.
What stage are you in?
Denial.
I'm thinking about suicide.
Yeah, okay. It's just a frame.
Well, it looks like you won't be needing this anymore.
That's it?
Yeah, fourth and final.
What's next?
Well, they just have to run all the tests first, see where we stand.
How long?
Takes a while. I'll get Dr. Gibbing to schedule them as soon as I see him, okay?
Thanks.
Hey, I'm on for another hour. Anything you need?
Clean bill of health if you got one.
Hang in there, Carter.
That's what I do.
The nurse wheels Carter's drip stand away. A baseball game on TV. Edward is lying flat on his back, wearing angled, mirrored goggles, which allow him to watch the TV.
Hit the cutoff, man, for crying out loud. You see, that's the problem with the game today. No fundamentals. Did you ever read The Time of Your Life?
William Saroyan.
Yeah. No foundation all the way down the line. When we were growing up, what are you doing?
Scribbling.
Scribbling? What?
Nothing. Just scribbling.
Edward looks back at the TV.
Oh, sure. That's what you want to do. Bounce a slider with a man on third. These kids today.
Carter's put on headphones.
Earphones. Talking to myself. Again.
He lies down and puts his goggles back on. Edward's young doctor walks in.
Edward.
Doc.
How's it going there?
Dumb question.
With furrowed brow, the doctor stares at Edward.
I got the test back. I just laid out, huh?
He nods sadly.
6 months. I'm a year if we're lucky. I mean, there is an experimental program that we've been conducting, and I don't want to get your hopes up, but I think you would be an excellent candidate for that. I mean, it's cutting edge.
Hey, Doc.
Yes?
You're blocking my view.
He's standing in front of the TV.
Oh, sorry.
He steps to one side.
Anyway, Edward, if there's any questions, day or night, you know where to find me.
He walks away.
One question.
Sure, of course.
Carter, you want to ask Dr. Holland something?
I mean, I'm not familiar with Mr. Chambers.
Well, get familiar.
Uncomfortable, Dr. Hollins looks over at Carter.
I just wanted to know how I stand, so.
Sure. How about I'll go take a look at your chart, okay?
Thank you.
Dr. Hollins leaves the room. Carter glances over at Edward, who slowly removes his goggles. Carter watches him in concern.
Edward.
Edward stares up at the ceiling.
Edward.
Edward slowly turns away from Carter. Wearing a troubled expression, he stares into space.
There was a survey once. 1,000 people were asked if they could know in advance would they want to know the exact day of their death. 96% of them said no.
Dr. Hollins returns.
I always kind of lean toward the other 4%. I thought it would be liberating, knowing how much time you had left to work with. It turns out, it's not.
Carter looks away sadly. He stares down at the notepad that he'd been writing on. At the top of the page are the words, bucket list. Carter screws the page up, a blank expression on his face. He turns and looks over at Edward, who stares back at him. The two men regard each other for a moment.
You want to play cards? Thought you'd never ask.
Carter smiles. Morning. Thomas opens the blinds. Edward wakes up and squints.
Rise and shine.
Edward gives Thomas the finger.
Or that?
Edward sits up as Thomas walks around to the other side of his bed. Thomas picks a catalogue and Carter's crumpled piece of paper up off the floor.
Let me see that.
He takes the piece of paper.
And, Thomas, call Marie at Christie's. Tell her I won't be bidding this season.
I understand. Sir, I don't mean to sound indelicate, but how do you want me to handle your...
death? Treat it as if it were your own.
So, leave all the money to my assistant?
Edward shakes his head.
Go get me one of those almond croissants that I like.
Thomas walks away.
Don't buy any green bananas.
Thomas turns back, bows at Edward, and leaves the room. Edward smooths out the crumpled piece of paper. Carter wakes up and stretches. He notices Edward is reading his discarded notes.
What are you doing?
What is this? Come on, give it back. What is it?
Give it back.
He holds out a hand.
It's on the floor. I didn't know it was a state secret.
Carter lowers his arm and nods.
My freshman philosophy professor assigned this exercise in forward thinking. He called it a bucket list. We were supposed to make a list of all the things we wanted to do in our lives before we...
Kick the bucket. Yeah. Cutesy.
Anyway, I wrote down things like make $1 million, first black president, you know, young man's wishes. I was gonna redo the list, but then...
Help a complete stranger for the good. Laugh until I cry. Not to be judgmental, but this is extremely weak.
It's pointless now.
I would argue the exact opposite.
He grabs a pen.
All right, that's it.
What are you doing?
A little rewrite, that's all. I mean, don't you want to go out with some balls, guns blazing, have a little fun?
It was not supposed to be about guns blazing or anything like that. You're missing the point.
What the hell is witness something majestic?
You ever been to the Himalayas?
Edward raises his eyebrows.
Drive a Mustang Shelby, not bad. I got one, all right. How about skydiving? Now we're onto something.
We're onto something?
Uh-huh.
Let me see that. Come on.
Edward hands it over.
Kiss the most beautiful girl in the world? How do you propose doing that?
Volume.
Carter looks back at the list.
Get a tattoo. Is that the sum of your ambition? Edward, I've taken baths deeper than you.
It's easy to be deep in freshman philosophy. What's Dr. Holland say? We got months, right?
A year, maybe.
You think 45 years went by fast? We could do this. We should do this.
No, I...
Don't think about money. That's all I got is money.
But I don't know.
What don't you know?
It was meant to be metaphorical. Just trying to get a handle on...
Blah, blah, blah. Metaphors. You're the one crying you never took a shot. Here's your chance.
My chance to what? Make a fool of myself?
Never too late.
Carter sits on his bed.
What do you think happens now? I go back and sit around listening to people talking about mezzanine financing and subordinated debt, pretending that I care about dead money. You go home to some ceremonial procession into death, with everyone standing around watching you die while you try to comfort them. Is that what you want? To be smothered by pity and grief? Well, not me. And in your heart, Carter, I believe not you either.
Carter stares at Edward.
We're both in the same boat. How's that for a metaphor? We got a real opportunity here.
Opportunity? That is real twisted, even by your standards.
We still feel good, right? Energy's coming back a little bit. Asymptomatic, the doc says. The way I see it, we can lay around here hoping for a miracle in some bullshit science experiment. Or we can put some moves on.
He grins at Carter, who looks away and nods thoughtfully. Edward eyes Carter hopefully. Carter glances up at him.
Skydiving, huh?
All right.
What kind of hospital is this? There isn't an MD within a mile.
The men stand.
Virginia, we have to talk.
What did they say?
Mrs. Chambers, I'm gonna give you two a little quiet time. Excuse me.
Edward leaves the room. A worried Virginia stares at her husband, who sits back down on his bed. He glances up at her awkwardly.
It's not good.
Virginia looks away. She takes a deep breath, then nods.
I knew we should have gone to UCLA. The surgeons are better. The post-op is better.
Wouldn't have made any difference.
You don't know that. We're not giving up. I want another opinion.
Ah, Virginia.
Yes, oncology, please. Dr. Petiri's office.
Virginia, no.
Let me handle this.
Carter stands up.
Dr. Petiri, Virginia Chambers. Yes, that's right.
He snatches the phone off her and hangs up. He glares at his wife for a few moments, then turns and walks away from her. He leans against the foot of Edward's bed and nods slowly.
I'm going away for a while.
What are you talking about?
Talking about Edward and I are going away.
Edward and you? Going away where?
I don't expect you to understand.
You're damn right I don't understand. I don't understand how you can just give up like this. How you can just quit fighting.
Virginia.
Why don't you tell our children that? See what they say when they find out you've given up on them.
Given up on them? Given up on them? I've got 45 years greased up under the hood of a car so that they didn't want for anything. And they didn't. I think I've earned some time for myself.
To do what? Run off with a total stranger?
He's not a stranger.
I'm your wife.
And I'm your husband. And I'm their father. And I'm a grandfather. And I'm a damn mechanic.
And you're a fool. You're a fool who thinks he's figured out a way how not to have cancer.
Carter looks her square in the face. She glares back at him.
I'm sorry.
Virginia looks away and walks past him, out of the room. Edward stands in the corridor outside.
My husband is not for sale.
Virginia storms off past the reception desk. Edward's tight smile fades as he watches her go and his shoulders slump. Carter walks slowly out of their room and joins him.
She hates me.
He turns and looks up at grey-haired Carter.
You hate me?
Carter regards him.
Not yet.
They lock eyes for a moment, then look away.
And so it began.
A twin-engine propeller plane flies high over a rugged landscape. Inside, Carter, wearing a red jumpsuit, fiddles with his Mustang Shelby keyring. An instructor sits behind him, fastening his harness.
Always been afraid to go up in an airplane. Now I'm gonna jump out of one at the whim of a maniac!
He drops his keyring.
Wanna get it?
How do you suggest we do that?
They're strapped together.
Wait! Ow!
They stand up and edge their way towards the keyring. It's blown towards Edward.
Damn it!
He reaches down and picks it up. Carter snatches it off him.
Not a word!
Edward gestures, zipping his lips.
Back to the seat, Kyle!
You'll have to forgive him, Kyle! He's worried about the little woman!
This has nothing to do with my wife!
30 seconds to drop! The sequel was like that! She never backed me up on anything!
The sequel?
The second Mrs. Edward Cole. God, that woman hated me!
Maybe because you called her the sequel.
Jeez, Kyle, I never looked at it that way. 15 seconds!
No, wait, I can't do this!
Sure you can!
No, I can't, really!
It's not the jump you're afraid of!
The hell it's not!
You're just afraid your chute won't open, and you'll show up at your own funeral as a Denver omelet!
No, I'm pretty much just worried the chute won't open! No!
Carter and Kyle jump out of the plane.
Man's got some lungs! Let's hit the seals! Geronimo!
Edward tumbles out.
Oh, yeah! Beautiful!
Edward and his instructor level up with Carter and Kyle.
Pull the thing! Pull the cord!
How about this, huh? This is living!
I hate your rotten guts!
Surrender to the void!
Which one of these damn cords do you pull?
Don't touch it! We're not in the drop zone yet! We could wind up in the...
Carter pulls it.
Okay! Let's deploy! I got a feeling I'm falling!
We're in the red zone! Pull the cord!
I got a feeling I'm falling in love!
Pull the damn cord!
I was in love once!
Their parachute opens. Skydiving is crossed off the bucket list.
Tommy, we live to die another day.
How lucky for me.
No jokes, Thomas. Remember the will. You're so close.
Let me ask you something. Is it Tommy or Thomas?
It's actually Matthew, but he finds that too biblical.
Let's eat some. Come on.
Is he insane?
Depends.
Edward winces as he has a tattoo done.
So, you decided?
No, I couldn't think of anything I wanted to be stuck with permanently.
What's permanently? We're gonna be dead in 5 minutes.
What?
Figure of speech. So, no Confederate flag, no black Jesus.
Nah, I'm gonna...
Pass, yeah, sure.
Well, I never agreed to desecrate my body.
What, are you worried they won't bury you in a Jewish cemetery?
What, the wife? It's a tattoo.
I mean, it's not like you're dumping her for another woman.
I never been with another woman.
Whoa. That's got to be on the list.
No, I don't think so.
66 years? Man, oh man, we ought to have a big orgy.
No.
Orgy's not even being unfaithful.
No.
It's just, like, professional.
No.
I don't even have to be there.
He grins. Carter stands beside a red and white Mustang Shelby.
Hello, darling.
Edward watches him.
You gonna drive it or buy it a dress?
Just getting to know each other.
Edward gets into a yellow Dodge Charger. The cars sit side by side on a racetrack.
You sure we're cleared for this?
Of course we're cleared for it. What if we weren't?
Just checking.
The men put on their helmets, start up their engines, and screech away. They streak along the track, Carter's Mustang edging into the lead. A smile spreads across Carter's face as he drives. Edward catches up and shouts over to him.
Come on! Tap it, baby! Let's see what she's got!
We're doing just fine.
You sound like some kid going to the junior prom.
You sound like someone looking for an ass-whooping.
Ass-whooping? You got nothing!
Got enough for you, Sonny Jim. Dangling.
Carter speeds off ahead of Edward. A determined look on his face, Edward puts his foot down and pulls up alongside Carter.
Did you just make a penis reference?
What if I did?
He bangs into Edward.
Jesus! You're gonna kill us both!
What if I do?
He bangs into him again.
Damn! You're breaking evil on me!
Evil? I'll show you evil. I'll show you evil, goddamn Knievel. Pick up on this, chicken man.
Carter zooms off. He swerves in front of Edward and forces him into a spin. Carter drives towards a pile of sand and flies over it.
Chicken man, huh?
Edward puts his foot down and follows Carter over the pile of sand.
You can run, but you cannot hide.
Edward turns a corner and speeds off after the Mustang. Side by side, they head towards a set of tunnels, two of which are barricaded off. Edward speeds through the middle tunnel whilst Carter crashes through a barrier and hurtles through another. He smashes out of the other end and screeches to a halt. Carter gets out of the Mustang and grins at Edward, whose Dodge has broken down at the end of his tunnel.
What do you want to do next?
An airplane takes off from a runway.
How much money do you have anyway?
Didn't anyone ever tell you that it's rude to talk about someone else's money?
I never knew anyone with enough to ask.
On board the private jet, Carter sleeps in a seat and Thomas on a sofa, both covered with blankets. The bathroom door opens and Edward pokes his head out. He cranes his neck and looks over at the sleeping men, then pushes the door open wider. A young woman with long, curly auburn hair walks out. She buttons up her blouse as she walks off through the cabin. Carter opens his eyes and watches her go. Edward waits a moment, then follows her out of the bathroom. He closes the door behind him and sneaks back over to his seat. He picks up a book that's lying on it and sits down, wincing at the creaking leather. Edward suddenly notices Carter staring over at him and smiles sheepishly.
Medicinal.
Carter smiles and shakes his head. Edward puts on his reading glasses and opens his book. Carter rubs his eyes and stares out of the window at a moonlit landscape covered in snow.
It's indescribably beautiful. Love flying over the polar cap. Above the desolation. The stars. It's really one of God's good ones. So you think a being of some sort did all this?
You don't?
You mean, do I believe if I look up in the sky and promise this or that, the biggie will make all this go away? No.
And 95% of the people on Earth are wrong.
If life has taught me anything, it's that 95% of the people are always wrong.
It's called faith.
I honestly envy people who have faith. I just can't get my head around it.
Maybe your head's in the way.
Edward shakes his head.
Carter, we've all had hundreds of these discussions, and every one of them always hits the same wall. Is there a sugar plum fairy or not? And nobody has ever gotten over that wall.
So, what do you believe?
I resist all beliefs.
No Big Bang? Random universe?
We live, we die, and the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Carter stares at him.
What if you're wrong?
I'd love to be wrong. If I'm wrong, I win.
Not sure it works that way.
You're not claiming you know something I don't.
Mm-mm. I just have faith.
Edward shakes his head.
Hallelujah, brother. And pass the mustard.
A motorcycle drives through a pretty seaside town. An old man plays bull. Edward and Carter sit at a table in a classy restaurant.
You know how they harvest caviar, don't you?
Hit me.
When a female sturgeon is caught, the fisherman has to take great care to see that she dies peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
If she feels the least bit threatened, she secretes a sour chemical that runs the eggs.
Sounds like my third wife. Woman thought mayonnaise came from a plant.
Carter sips champagne.
I could get used to this.
Also sounds like my third wife.
Edward looks out of a window. The evening sky is tinged with pink.
30 years I've been coming here. First time with a guy.
Well, I'm flattered.
Emily's 10th birthday was the best, though.
Who's Emily?
My little, well, she's not so little anymore.
You have a daughter? But I thought you said...
Yeah, well... I didn't know you then.
Edward glances away. Carter stares at him.
Make a long story short, I don't see her.
Carter reaches into his jacket pocket. He takes out the list and unfolds it.
What are you doing?
It's time.
He writes a note.
Oh, no. Cross that off.
Why not?
Cross it off.
Why?
Why? There is no why.
Edward takes the list and crosses out, get back in touch. Carter looks distracted.
What's the matter?
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
Carter stands up and hurries off.
It's like abroad.
Edward walks into an elegantly decorated men's bathroom.
Look, Carter. I'm sorry, I know
Sometimes I get a little overbearing and I...
He gapes.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. What's... It's okay.
What?
Stop on the catheters. Just came loose, that's all.
Well, maybe we should get you to a hospital, girl.
Just bust it out of the hospital.
Huh?
It's all right. Look, it's already stopped. See? Look.
Yeah.
It's just gonna...
It looks wonderful. Maybe I'll get the thing. You go straight to the car.
Come on. Come on.
Okay.
A black Rolls Royce pulls up outside a posh villa. Carter, in his now blood-stained shirt, walks inside, followed by Edward.
Where's Tommy?
Carter stares in awe at the opulent lounge.
Oh, my. How much money do you have?
Well, I wouldn't bleed on the rugs.
I'm gonna find some place where I can take a nice hot bath. Be as good as new afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, set then. Okay. All right, it took some doing, but I rearranged everything. Cairo tomorrow, Tanzania for 2 days, then Johannesburg on Saturday. And as previously directed, no bullfight, no tiger hunt.
Thomas, I'd really like to say you're irreplaceable, but I'd be lying.
And I'd really like to say you're a gracious man and I love my job, but I too would be lying.
Turnabout is fair play. I believe you learned that from the master.
Trevor! They got Jeopardy in the bathroom!
On with the TV, Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. In French?
Hello.
Mr. Cole? Virginia Chambers.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Let me get Carter for you.
Well, actually, I called to speak to you.
Oh.
Is he all right?
Oh, yeah, he's fine.
May I ask where you are?
France, actually. Tomorrow...
Give him back to me.
He raises his brow.
Virginia? May I call you Virginia? I'm not sure that I can...
I'm not asking for his sake. Mr. Cole, I've been a nurse my entire adult life. Had a ringside seat to more human tragedy than any woman should ever have to bear. Now, I'm prepared for my husband to die. I'm just not prepared to lose him while he's still alive.
Carter soaks in the bath, watching TV.
Who is Howdy Doody?
You got it. You pick.
TV puppets for 400.
These two Muppets are roommates on the long-running show Sesame Street.
Who are Bert and Ernie?
Who are Bert and Ernie?
Vice President... Antoine, who?
Edward walks into the bathroom.
Who is Spiro Agnew?
Well, you're looking, buoyant.
It's the first time I was ever in a tub with no corners.
Really? You know, Carter, I've been thinking. What with the catheter and everything? Maybe we should put this on hold for a while.
Come on. Now, I told you, stop worrying. I'm fine.
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's just, I mean, if you're worried about letting me down, you know, it's a lot easier for me.
You talked to Virginia, didn't you?
Edward looks away and raises his eyebrows.
Why do you think I'm doing this?
Because I talked you into it.
Edward, you're strong, but you're not that strong.
Edward smiles.
No. After Rachel left for college, there was a hole. I mean, you know, no more homework. I'm on Little League, recitals, school plays, kids crying, fights, skins and knees. And for the first time in 40 years, I looked at Virginia without all of the noise, without all of the distractions. And I couldn't remember what it felt like when I could not walk down the street without holding her hand.
Carter looks away wistfully. He raises his eyebrows and shrugs.
She was the same woman I fell in love with. She hadn't changed. But somehow everything was different. We'd lost something along the way.
He looks at Edward.
You know.
Edward stares back at his friend.
Who is Charlie McCarthy?
Sandy.
Who's Charlie McCarthy?
They stand in the back of a Jeep.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
The Jeep trundles on across the African plain, passing a herd of zebra and other wild animals. Carter points.
Look, 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 look!
Wildebeest jump into a river. The Jeep drives on, passing a solitary tree.
I was very pleased when Edward decided to eliminate item number 9 from his list, hunt the big cat. Of course, he did insist on discharging a few rounds from the big gun. One proved to be enough.
He fell over. The men sit in their safari tent and play cards.
Shin?
Of course. Why not?
Fluffy white clouds and a bright blue sky. A group of pyramids bathed in sunlight.
Do you know that the only dog ever struck by lightning was right here in Egypt?
Wish I'd met you before we were dead.
They sit high on a pyramid.
No, technically, we could cross off 2 items. See the pyramids and witness something majestic. This is about as majestic as it gets.
Carter shakes his head.
Wait till you see my mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Edward smiles.
Your mountain.
He stands up.
Still, this ain't half bad.
You know, the ancient Egyptians had a beautiful belief about death. When their souls got to the entrance to heaven, the gods asked them 2 questions. Their answers determined whether they were admitted or not.
Okay. I'll bite. What were they?
Have you found joy in your life?
Ashen-faced, Edward rubs his chest.
Answer the question.
Me?
Yeah,
you. Answer the question. Have I found joy in my life?
Yes.
Yes.
Has your life brought joy to others?
This type of question. I don't know. I don't think about how other people gauge. Ask them.
I'm asking you.
Edward stares at Carter resignedly.
Fine. Fine.
He takes a deep breath.
Let me put it to you this way. After the breakup and the ensuing fleecing of the dad, Emily went to live with her mother. You know, you try to stay close, but it gets down to holidays, phone calls, birthday cards, you know. Anyway, Emily goes to college, joins one of her Save the Poor People, the animals, whatnot. Meets a guy, decides she loves him. Good-looking kid, driven, smart.
Edward purses his lips thoughtfully.
But there was something about him, so when she said they were engaged, I told her I was against it, but being my daughter, naturally. She went ahead and married him anyway. Needless to say, I wasn't invited to the wedding.
That must have hurt.
You think?
Edward stares into the distance.
First time he hit her, she came to me. I wanted to bash his brains in. She wouldn't let me. Said she loved him, said it wasn't his fault. He'd had a few drinks. She was the one picked the fight.
Next time it happened, she didn't come to me. The ex told me. Nice to hear her voice again.
What did you do?
What any father would do. I took care of it. I called a guy who called a guy who handles these kinds of things. Don't know what he said. Don't know what he did. All I know is he didn't kill him. And my daughter never heard from him again.
How does she react?
Called me names you wouldn't believe, and worse. Said I was dead to her.
Edward forces a grin. Carter watches him.
I'm not proud of everything I did. I'm pretty sure I'd do it all again, so. They don't let me into Egyptian heaven because my daughter hates me. Well, then, I guess that's just the way it goes. However you answer your two questions.
Carter, wearing aviator sunglasses, looks away.
How do we get down from this tomb?
Bicycle rickshaws and pedestrians on a bustling Indian street. Edward and Carter walk through a bazaar. A group of children run towards them. Edward sprinkles a handful of coins onto the ground. Inside the Taj Mahal...
The Empress was the wife of Shah Jahan, 5th Mughal Emperor. Although it was an arranged marriage, they were deeply in love and remained inseparable until she died, giving birth to their 14th child.
Do you mind if I call you Ray? Main man Ray.
Are you listening to anything I'm saying?
Absolutely. 14 kids. I'm with you.
Carter looks away with a frown.
It took 20,000 volunteers 22 years to complete this structure. Every square foot designed by the Shah himself.
So that's true love.
That's true love.
Must be nice.
Carter turns to Edward, who grins back at him. Edward looks away.
Don't know if I buy the whole 20,000 volunteers business.
He walks away.
Funeral plans tend to confuse me. Specifically, buried or cremated. Take buried. Now, I know it shouldn't matter, but I'm claustrophobic. What if I wake up underground and nobody can hear me? They still make those coffins with the bells?
I don't believe they do.
Then cremated. What do you do with the ashes? Do you bury them, scatter them, put them on a shelf, float them down the Ganges on a bed of flowers? What if I feel the flames?
Well, I definitely want to have myself cremated.
Maybe we should go frozen like Walt Disney.
Well, cremated. Ashes put in a can, buried someplace with a view.
A can, huh?
Yeah. I never liked the sound of the word urn.
Really? Got any special feelings about crypt?
No. No, an old chock full of nuts can will do me just fine.
Chock full of nuts. The heavenly coffee.
Better coffee even your money can't buy, my friend.
Don't bet on it.
Oh, right. Kopi Luwak.
What do you got against Kopi Luwak?
Carter shrugs.
Too fancy for my taste.
Oh, yeah. Too fancy for my main man, Ray.
On the plane.
Jen.
God damn it. You get all the cards.
The men ride a motorcycle along the Great Wall of China.
This is China for you, baby!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
They speed on, passing under the archway of a tower. Pack animals walk in single file along a narrow mountain path. A wood cabin is nestled amongst the snow-covered mountains. Carter stands by the open doorway.
Be a lot more majestic if we could see it.
Edward turns to him.
See that old woman? Odds are we're gonna be dead before her.
Happy thought.
course, she's probably got reincarnation going for her, however that system works.
Buddhists believe you keep coming back, moving up or down a level based on how you lived your life.
See, that's where they lose me. I mean, what would a snail have to do to move up in the lineup? Lay down a perfect trail of slime?
So, shitty news or really shitty news?
A, the first one.
There's a storm up there.
Well, thanks for the bulletin, Tom. We can't even see the goddamn thing.
They won't let us fly up until the weather clears.
Well, when are they expected to clear?
Next spring sometime. That's the really shitty news, in case you were wondering.
Thomas walks away. Carter turns and looks at Edward.
Well, maybe next time.
Yeah. Next spring.
They walk to the door.
So now what?
Well, maybe your mountain's trying to tell us something.
Well, what do you mean?
Maybe we've been gone long enough.
Gone long enough? Gone long enough for whom?
Edward smiles.
Oh, no, I get it. The mountain isn't telling us it's time for us to go home. Mountain is telling you to tell me it's time for me to go home. Right?
Yeah.
You shit. Why don't you worry about your own life and let me worry about mine, okay? Okay?
Okay, okay. You don't have to get chippy with me.
What's next?
Next, Hong Kong. Silk suits and black walnut ice cream.
In a bar.
Tibetans call it Chomolung, goddess mother of the snows.
Goddess mother of the world, actually. In the traditional Tibetan translation.
She sits beside him.
I stand corrected.
Pinot Noir, please. I take it you've been there.
Just left, actually. We tried to go up, but weather.
You're a little late in the season.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
My name's Angelica.
Yeah, got it.
They shake hands.
I'm sorry if this sounds terrible, but aren't you a little developed in years to be running up a giant mountain?
Developed? That's certainly one way of putting it.
Well, I've been up there, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I made it to 26,000 feet before we had to turn back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's awestruck.
What was it like?
Cold. Mm. Mostly. During the day, the sky is more black than blue. There's not enough air to reflect the sunlight. But at night, you've never seen so many stars. It seems like they're just out of reach. And so bright. They're like little holes. In the floor of heaven.
Carter gazes at her thoughtfully.
Yeah. Did you hear it?
Hear what?
I read an account of a man who made it to the summit. And standing there at the top of the world, he experienced this profound silence. It was like all sound just fell away. And that's when he heard it.
What?
The sound of the mountain. He said it was like he heard the voice of God.
Pretty, dark-haired Angelica looks at Carter intently. He gazes back at her.
I've never done this before. That sounds like such a cliché, but I have a room upstairs.
Carter stares at her, wide-eyed and open-mouthed. Angelica looks at him, hopefully.
Well, that's... I mean... I...
His face softens, and he smiles at her kindly.
I appreciate that. But you see...
She tightens her lips.
She's a very lucky woman.
Well, I rather think I'm the lucky one.
Good for you.
They gaze at each other for a few moments, then Angelica stands up and walks away. In their hotel suite, Edward walks into the lounge where Thomas is sitting on a sofa.
Tom, three things to remember when you get older. Never pass up a bathroom. Never waste a hard-on. And never trust a fart.
I'll keep that in mind as I approach decrepitude.
It's a good one, then.
Let's go home.
Excuse me?
I want to go home now.
But I thought... What about the silk suits?
That was very clever of you, Edward.
Edward shrugs.
How'd you know I wouldn't go through with it?
I didn't.
Edward smiles and raises his eyebrows. Carter grins at him and walks away. Thomas walks over to Edward.
I'm proud of you.
Nobody cares what you think.
Edward pats him on the chest and walks off. Thomas beams proudly. Edward's jet flies over fluffy clouds, then over the twinkling lights of a city at night. Carter stares sadly out of the plane window. Edward looks grey-faced and miserable, wrapped up in a red blanket.
America.
He looks over at Carter, who continues to stare out of the window. Thomas sits nearby, typing away at his laptop. A black saloon travels along a rain-soaked street. Edward and Carter sit in the back.
Hey, Tommy. This isn't the way to Crenshaw.
There's an accident on the 10. We're taking the surface streets.
The car turns onto a suburban street and pulls up outside a modest bungalow. Frowning, Edward looks around.
Why are we,
A young woman is inside the bungalow. Edward sees her.
Oh, my God.
He's kept tabs on her. Just in case you decided to...
This was your idea, Tom? Well,
no, it was my idea. I talked him into it.
Talked him into it.
Hey, wait a minute. Edward! Wait a minute. Edward, what are you so afraid of?
Just because I told you my story does not invite you to be a part of it.
Oh, like the lady in the bar?
It's different.
Tell me how it's different.
Because it is!
How is it different?
You have no fucking idea who I am! I built a billion-dollar business up from nothing. Presidents have asked my advice. I have dined with royalty. And I'm supposed to make out like what? This trip was supposed to mean something to me? Like it was gonna change me? How did you see it playing out, Carter? I knock on the door, she answers. She's surprised and angry. But I tell her how much I love her and miss her. And oh, by the way, I'm gonna be dead soon, so I'm reaching out to you because I don't want to die alone.
Everyone's afraid to die alone.
I'm not everyone!
He takes out the list.
This was supposed to be fun. That's all it ever was!
To Thomas.
No, you don't get in. Call a cab.
Carter watches as Edward gets into the car, leaving Thomas standing on the grass verge next to it. Edward throws the torn pieces of the bucket list out of the window. The car drives away. A taxi pulls up outside a neat two-story house and Carter gets out of the back. He stands on the pavement and looks up at the house, then turns and watches the taxi as it drives away. He looks back at the house and slowly makes his way up the driveway. Carter takes out his keys as he reaches the front door. He makes to put them into the lock, then hesitates and rings the doorbell. He shuffles nervously as he waits. Virginia opens the door and looks Carter up and down sadly. He smiles back at her. Virginia moves aside, and Carter walks into the house. Edward walks through a glass door into his luxurious modern apartment. His hands in his pockets, he looks around, then makes his way slowly down a staircase. Carter sits around the dinner table with his family.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day. having our family here together once again. And Lord, we just want to thank you for returning my husband, their father, Lord, to us.
Edward takes an empty coffee sachet out of a wooden box. He checks inside it, then puts it back again. At Carter's house, as the family tuck into their meal, Carter helps himself to some food. Virginia smiles flirtatiously at her husband. Carter looks around happily at his family. Edward struggles to open a TV dinner. He puts it down on the counter and thumps it. The meal over and the family gone, Virginia clears away dishes. Carter walks up behind her and places his hands on her hips. She turns to face him and they hold each other close. Carter takes Virginia's hand and they begin to slow dance. Two young women sit on Edward's sofa. Edward stares sadly out of the window.
Is he crying?
I don't know. He's usually so much fun.
Virginia leads Carter into their bedroom. Smiling, they turn and face each other. Virginia places her hands on Carter's shoulders.
Wait a minute. Hmm. I got something for us.
Huh?
Wasn't sure I'd need it.
Really?
Ow!
Virginia disappears into the ensuite bathroom. Carter walks over to the bedroom door, looks out into the corridor, then quickly closes it. He walks over to the bed and sits down.
Do you know how long it's been?
Do I want to know?
Well, it's been longer than that.
Carter fidgets nervously, then looks around. He stands up and walks over to a chair by the window. He sits down, crosses his legs, and watches the open bathroom door. Carter stands up again.
You know, I feel like a teenager. Like our first time.
If we were teenagers, we never would have gotten out of that living room. I remember the first time. There was no tiptoeing around. You were on me like that.
She's wearing a sexy dress.
Carter? Oh, you playing hide and seek now, huh? Okay.
He's on the floor.
Carter!
Which resulted in a 15% increase in cash assets following the sale of the recovery center to Phillips Medical.
In a boardroom.
Mr. Cole?
Edward's lost in thought.
Mr. Cole?
You ever read The Divine Comedy?
Excuse me, sir?
The Divine Comedy. Dante Alighieri's Journey into Hell.
Lawyer Richard gawps at Edward. Another guy raises a finger.
Maybe we should take a break.
We don't need a break. I'm in remission. A goddamn medical miracle. I'm simply asking if you ever read The Divine Comedy.
Sir, you have a phone call.
Tommy, not now.
I really think you should take this.
Thomas pats Edward on the shoulder and walks away. Edward frowns and follows him out. At the hospital, Edward steps out of the lift and walks up to Dr. Hollins.
Hey,
what's the prognosis?
Well, it's metastasized to his brain.
Operable?
Well, the odds aren't exactly what we'd like them to be.
Edward frowns.
What?
He walks away.
Jesus.
The door to Carter's hospital room opens and Edward walks slowly inside. Wearing a breathing tube, Carter lies asleep in bed. Virginia sits at his bedside.
How's he doing?
She nods.
He's doing okay.
Edward looks back down at Carter. Virginia reaches into her bag.
Oh, he wanted me to give you this. I was supposed to wait until after. But then I thought...
She never listened to me before.
Virginia smiles.
Why change a winning formula? You look like shit, Ray. Thanks. How they treating you? Pea soup still sucks. I'll have a word with the owner.
You do that.
Carter looks up at Edward, who raises his eyebrows and sucks in his cheeks. Night. His head now shaved, Carter lies in bed on a ward.
Can I have some water?
You can't have any water, but I'll go get you some of those lemon swabs, okay?
Virginia stands up and walks off. Edward steps closer to the bed and shrugs his shoulders with a sigh. Carter reaches into a bag sitting on a bedside table and takes out a folded piece of paper.
You're still drinking that fancy coffee?
What? I'm obsessed.
Carter unfolds the paper and hands it to Edward.
Read it.
Edward grins, then reads.
Kopi Luwak is the world's most expensive coffee, though for some it falls under the category of too good to be true. In the Sumatran village where the beans are grown lives a breed of wild tree cat. These cats eat the beans, digest them, and then defecate. The villagers then collect and process the stools. It is the combination of the beans and the gastric juices of the tree cat that give Kopi Luwak its unique flavor and aroma. You're shitting me.
He shakes his head.
Cats beat me to it.
Edward gulps.
You got a pen? Give me a
what?
Edward takes a pen from his jacket inside pocket and hands it to Carter. Carter takes the bucket list, which has been taped back together again, from his bag. He crosses off number 3. Laugh until I cry. He holds the list out to Edward. Edward takes it, a puzzled expression on his face.
It's not finished.
It's not a one-man deal.
I'm afraid it'll have to be.
Edward studies Carter sadly. Edward walks slowly out of the hospital. He stops and looks around forlornly. Doctors and nurses in blue scrubs prepare to take Carter through for surgery.
Ready.
Carter is wheeled away. Virginia gently takes his hand and kisses it. She smiles at him.
I'll be here when you get back.
Sounds good to me.
He smiles at her as he's wheeled into the operating theater. Virginia blows him a kiss and smiles. She stands and watches as he's wheeled away. She bows her head sadly as the doors to the operating theater close. Edward sits in the back of his car, a look of sorrow upon his face. He takes the envelope that Virginia gave him out of his pocket and studies it for a moment. Edward pulls a letter out of the envelope and begins to read.
Dear Edward, I've gone back and forth the last few days trying to decide whether or not I should even write this. In the end, I realized I would regret it if I didn't. So here goes. I know the last time we saw each other, we weren't exactly hitting the sweetest notes. Certainly wasn't the way I wanted the trip to end.
Edward pulls up outside Emily's house.
I suppose I'm responsible. And for that, I'm sorry. But in all honesty, if I had the chance, I'd do it again.
Emily opens the door. Edward holds up a pot plant.
Virginia said I left a stranger and came back a husband. I owe that to you.
Dr. Hollins leaves the theater.
There's no way I can repay you for all you've done for me. So rather than try, I'm just going to ask you to do something else for me. Find the joy in your life.
Dr. Hollins shakes his head.
You once said you're not everyone. Well, that's true. You're certainly not everyone. But everyone is everyone.
Roger comforts his mother.
My pastor always says, our lives are streams flowing into the same river towards whatever heaven lies in the mist beyond the falls.
Hello, sweetie. Hi.
Find the joy in your life, Edward.
Edward kisses his granddaughter. He crosses Kiss the Most Beautiful Girl in the World off the list.
My dear friend, close your eyes and let the waters take you.
At Carter's funeral.
Good afternoon. My name is Edward Cole. I don't know what most people say at these occasions because, in all honesty, I've tried to avoid them.
He turns and looks at a photo of Carter as a young man.
The simplest thing is, I loved him, and I miss it.
Edward reaches into his pocket and takes out the bucket list.
Carter and I saw the world together, which is amazing. When you think that only 3 months ago, we were complete strangers.
He crosses number two, help a complete stranger for the good off the list.
I hope that it doesn't sound selfish of me, but the last months of his life were the best months of mine.
He smiles at Virginia.
He saved my life. And he knew it before I did.
A lone figure trudges through snow.
I'm deeply proud that this man found it worth his while to know me. In the end, I think it's safe to say that we brought some joy to one another's lives. So, one day when I go to some final resting place, if I happen to wake up next to a certain wall with a gate, I hope that Carter's there to vouch for me and show me the ropes on the other side.
At the top of the mountain, the lone figure, Thomas, takes a coffee tin out of his bag.
Edward Perryman Cole died in May. It was a Sunday in the afternoon, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. He was 81 years old. Even now, I can't claim to understand the measure of a life. But I can tell you this. I know that when he died, his eyes were closed and his heart was open. And I'm pretty sure he was happy with his final resting place, because he was buried on the mountain. And that was against the law.
The coffee tin is placed next to another in a small snow-covered shrine. Thomas crosses the final item off the bucket list. Witness something majestic. He folds the list and places it between the two tins. ITFC audio description by Jennifer Hill was read by Fiona McGeown.
Take out of your wasted honor every little past frustration. Take out of your so called.
Directed by Rob Reiner. Written by Justin Zakim.
Better put them in court.
Produced by Craig Zaden, Neil Merrin, Alan Griesman, Rob Reiner. Executive producers Jeffrey Stott, Travis Knox, Justin Zakim. The Bucket List. Director of Photography Jason Swartzman, ASC. Production designer Bill Bryjeski. Film editor Robert Layton. Music by Mark Shaman. Costumes designed by Molly McGuinness. Casting by Jane Jenkins, CSA, and Janet Hershenson, CSA. A Warner Brothers Pictures presentation. A Zaden Merrin production. a Reiner Greisman production. A Rob Reiner film. Unit production managers David A. Siegel, Jeffrey Stott. First assistant director Frank Capra III. Second assistant director Brian F. Relier. Co-producer Frank Capra III. Cast: Edward, Jack Nicholson, Carter, Morgan Freeman, Thomas, Sean Hayes, Virginia, Beverly Todd, Dr. Hollins, Rob Morrow, Roger, Alfonso Freeman, Angelica, Rowena King, Kai, Anton Berry Jr., Chandra, Verda Bridges, Maya, Destiny Brownridge, Lee, Brian Copeland, Instructor, Ian Anthony Dale. Emily Jennifer DeFrancisco, Female Administrator Angela Gardner, Mechanic Noel Guglielmi, Manny Jonathan Hernandez, County Health Director Hugh Hollub, Elizabeth Andrea J. Johnson, Flight Attendant Don Lewis, Tattoo Artist Jordan Lund, Board Chairman Richard McGonigal, Richard Jonathan Mangum, Nurse Shing Karen Murayama, Attractive Woman Number 1, Amber Mead. Attractive Woman Number 2, Nikki Novak. Executive Number 1, John O'Brien. Rachel, Serena Reeder. Kyle, Christopher Stapleton. Edward's granddaughter, Taylor Ann Thompson. Alex Trebek, himself. Doctor Number 1, Roy Vong Tama. Stunt Coordinator, Alex Daniels. On the Road Again, performed by Canned Heat. The Lion Sleeps Tonight, performed by The Tokens. Say, written, produced and performed by John Mayer. This motion picture, copyright 2007 Warner Brothers Entertainment Incorporated. Story and screenplay, copyright 2007 Warner Brothers Entertainment Incorporated. Original score, copyright 2007 Warner Olive Music, LLC. All material is protected by copyright laws of the United States and all countries throughout the world, all rights reserved. Country of first publication, United States of America. Warner Brothers is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or copying of this film, or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. The story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures. A Time Warner Company.